I'll be reading from Ephesians 6, verses 14 to 16. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Thank you, Bud. We're glad you're here this morning. Boy, that song, if that didn't prepare you to jump into worship, that last song we just sung, we need to sing it again. Do we need to sing it again? That means we'll be here longer. No takers. Friday nights are this time of year, a time when some young men prepare all week to head out and play a game called football. My second son, Tristan, his senior year, old 6 foot something, dripping wet, 140 pounds. He was one of the wide receivers for his football team, and boy, they worked hard all summer getting themselves ready to play. And they worked hard every week. And boy, when they went out to play, you know, they didn't go out in street clothes. They put on some pants that had pads. I remember playing and they had a girdle that you had to wear. Yes, boys wear girdles, or they used to. And then shoulder pads. And maybe some of us would, since I was on the offensive line and I got to block bigger guys twice the size of me, I had pads for my arms too. And then the helmet. But boy, you didn't run out there in your stocking feet either. You wore these things called cleats, so that when you did go out to play, you would be able to grip the ground and do your duty. Now that may bring back some memories for some of you. Some times when that smell of grass and the noise of the crowd were an enjoyable part of a Friday night. In Ephesians chapter 6, we've been looking at the last 3 weeks, this is the fourth week, about there's a war going on. And the description that's given in Ephesians chapter 6 really does talk about a battle, a contest. But a person who is prepared, a person who has prepared himself all week, a person who, in this instance, according to verses 15 and 16, a person that day who has some shoes that are prepared to stand solid in ground. I was reading some of the writers that wrote about warfare. And the Romans were known, when they would put on their sandals, they would have nails that were driven through their sandals so that when they stood in battle, they would not slip, but that they would be men that would stand their ground and defend themselves and conquer. And that's sort of the illusion that's given here today. And I'm happy to say that we only have 2 points today. And they're simple ones. Prepared feet. Every one of you trim your nails this morning to get ready for worship? Well, that's not the kind of prepared we're talking about. We're talking about a person who stands on God's word, therefore he has prepared feet. We want to begin by turning to Psalm, the very first Psalm, and looking at the first three verses. And the psalmist gives us a beautiful picture of the man standing on God's word is like a tree that's planted by a river. Now, if you have ever been a child and gone out fishing on some farmland or some creek running through some land that you knew and were enabled to fish on, boy, you know those trees grow big and tall. Those trees just don't get blown over. They're very, very stout. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now that's a beautiful picture. I can conjure that up in my mind because as a boy, there were times that we had permission to go fishing and a few times we didn't. But I remember that. I remember one place on the little timber creek that came through the north end of Winfield, and we lived over on Olive Street. It wasn't very far from us, but over by my friend's house, Gary Crabtree, where the river made a bend, and in another bend there was a deep pool of water, and there was the biggest tree in Winfield with a rope tied on it. And you know what we did? We'd grab that rope and we'd swing out and drop right into that pool. Boy, did that take some guts. I was terrified for years. But we understand the concept of something that's big and strong and stout, and the question is, are we? Are we big and strong and stout like we should be? Because the psalmist says we will be if we give some time to meditating, not just reading, but meditating on God's Word. If we spend some time in it, God's going to make us strong. In the book of Job, turning back a few pages to Job, the 23rd chapter, looking at two verses, Job is in this predicament of life. Job has lost everything. His family, his wealth, and his health. And everybody around him is saying, well, Job, if you wouldn't have been unfaithful to God, this wouldn't have happened to you. But that's not true, because even the worst of things happen to the most faithful of peoples. Just because something happens to you doesn't mean you're an unfaithful person. The issue is, what do you do with it? How do you handle it? Who do you turn to? And while Job's friends were saying, Job, just curse God and die, and even his wife said, just curse God and die. Good thing he didn't listen to her. But Job said this in verses 11 and 12, my feet have closely followed his, that is God's, steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Job is saying, I've not turned away. I have kept my feet where they need to be. And folks, if you're going to go to battle, you better be able to stand. Can you imagine somebody crawling out with the sword and fighting from their hands and knees? But there's a battle going on. And the battle, as we are told, in addition to the other things that we've looked at, we've got to have our feet ready. We've got to be able to stand our ground. We've got to be stable where we can stand on God's Word. But also, we don't want to slip and fall. In the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37, in verse 31, it simply says, the law of God is in his heart, his feet do not slip. I've seen in times in my life, and I'm sure you have too, when I have the most troubles with being the Christian I need to be, that's when I've read the scriptures the least. When I have not given myself time to study and get involved in God's Word and read it. And, you know, there are these inventions that do help us. And I have this thing called a smartphone, which is a lot smarter than me. And I take that with me because, one, my wife wants to be able to get a hold of me wherever she can, I suppose. But two, I found out that if I'm somewhere and I need to teach a class, and I don't have my Bible and class material with me, I can get on my phone and I can get it from my computer right there on my phone. But now that's not really what I use the phone for. I use it for my daily Bible reading. wherever I am. And sometimes that might be in the men's room. And sometimes that might be when I start the day, I don't break open this Bible on my desk. I pull out my cell phone and I read from the New American Standard, a little bit different than the one I preach out of. But I keep reading over and over and over again. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I don't know the most, but I need to be prepared to stand up for Jesus. And if I'm not reading the Bible, I have found out I'm not prepared. Don't you agree? You see, those are the times. And one of the things about it too, the smartphone, I can push this microphone button on my YouVersion and I can drive down the road and it will read the passage I've selected to me. If you don't have a smartphone, maybe you need to get one. Because that takes away my excuses. We don't need excuses. We need to follow through on our commitment. We need to make good with what we've told God we'll do. Now, you know, I said that quietly because it's simply true. In Colossians, the second chapter, the Bible tells us in verses 6 and 7, now that you're a Christian, and by the way, Christianity is not striking a pose. Jesus, in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, was talking about the Pharisees. And he told about a publican and a Pharisee that went out to pray. And the Pharisee struck a pose. When the Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed, if you look up that word stood, it means he struck a pose. He struck a pose. That's all he did. But the publican, he wouldn't even look up to heaven, and he beat himself and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, I'm the publican. God doesn't need us to strike a pose, but he needs us to stand. And so in Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 and 7, it says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Now, I'm going to read this the way the original language reads it, which is different than the way it's written in your Bible, probably. Being rooted and being built up in Him, being strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You see, every one of those verbs is a present tense of being. It's not that you were once rooted. It's not that you were once built up. It's that we must continue being rooted. We must continue being built up. We must continue being strengthened. We cannot give up on those things. 2 years ago, in October, I had pancreatitis for the first time, and Bonnie's smartphone, she had marked it on her calendar back then on her smartphone, and a few weeks ago, she got this 2 years ago, what happened to you? And it brought up that I had pancreatitis. And so I had to make some changes, and I've not done so good the last year. I did the first year, but I found out too that I've been anemic for a long time. So every day, I take these horse vitamins and vitamin B12 and ladies' iron pills. It hasn't affected me a bit. But they're a slow-release ladies' iron pill. That's what the doctor prescribed. So I take a handful of pills now. When Joe Dillard and I would go eat somewhere at the preacher's breakfast and study, he pulls out literally a handful of pills and counts them. So I guess I'm going to become like Joe at some point in my life. But you know what? If I don't take the iron, if I don't take the big multivitamins, if I don't take those, I can tell. Because anemia makes you where you cannot continue on in doing something for very long. And I wondered why, when I would do some work one day, it would take me 2.5 days to rest up. Well, now that I'm taking the vitamins and getting the supplements that I need, I don't worry about that. I get rested overnight, although now my knees aren't quite as flexible as they used to be, and neither is my back. But folks, if we don't make sure that we are being rooted so that we can stand up, if we don't make sure that we're being strengthened by God's word, we're in trouble. And we're not prepared. And we can slip. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 15, he says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness," that's preparedness, "that comes from the gospel of peace." You see, God's word, it stands us up. God's word, it strengthens us. God's word brings me steadiness and stability. But then in verse 16, he talks about, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we understand this. The devil really does want to destroy us. And he's going to use every advantage that he can come up with. Now, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 15. And to the life of a man named Abram before he becomes Abraham, where God makes a covenant with Abram. And Abram has been given promises. Abram is a man of faith. He follows God. He has left his father. And if you go back and read about Abraham's father, you'll find out that Abraham's father was an idolatrous man. He worshipped many gods. That's called polytheism. That's not a polyester suit. That's called polytheism, where Abraham's father worshipped many gods. But Abraham believed there was one God, and he worshipped that one God. And look at what is said in Genesis 15, verse 1. "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.'" Do we believe that God can't handle our lives? Or do we believe that God can handle our lives? Do you believe that you're walking alone? Do you believe that there's no one to oversee you? I enjoy there's passages in the Bible that speak about when you read in Hebrews chapters 1 and 2 about angels. The angels of God. Do you know what they are? The Bible says that they are ministering spirits sent to serve us. You seen your angel lately? I'm not talking about a child. A child is not an angel. Can never be an angel. I know Ray Smith, some time ago, he would send me emails about people talking about their little angels. Folks, children are not angels. Angels can never be called the Son of God. Read Hebrews chapter 1 if you don't believe that. But we, as children of God, are sons of God. We're something that the angels never will be. We're higher than what the angels could ever be. But when you go back to Abram, you look at this, and one of the reasons why Abram was so committed and so devout, he knew God was his shield. And somehow angels fit into the story of humanity. We're served by them, but we don't see them. I know that John was telling me just the other day, when his son and daughter-in-law were moving into their house, and he told me I had to take him to Mulvane to get his car. He did tell me. He didn't ask me, he just told me. "Come on, let's go. We're taking your truck down to Mulvane." "Okay, John." And on the way down there, he was telling me about that there have been times where he should have been dead. But somehow he got through it. And I told him about the time. He's been run over by a car, folks. You think he had in a tough old boot? Now, I say that with love and kindness. But I remember a time, too, where a car fell on me out in the backyard. And boy, if I'm, and you know I don't use this word, I'm so lucky. Because when it fell down that jack stand that That 64 Impala Supersport fell on, it caught the head of a bolt on the side of the frame, or I would not be here today. But all of us, in some way or another, God has been looking out for us. He has been our shield. And I don't want to get too far in this, in the concept of angels, because I don't know how God has done what He has done. Here's what I do know. God is our shield and protector.
Amen.
That's what I do know. So if anything good happens to me, I attribute it to God. Amen. Not me. Not luck. Unless God's name is luck. And it isn't. In Psalm 18, the 18th Psalm, I want to read verses 25 through 30. And here's what the Bible says. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, this is Psalm 18, verse 25. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The law of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. Folks, we've got to flex our faith by being as faithful to God as we can be, not just during the week when we read the Bible. And I've been talking about reading, and I've been talking about studying the Bible, which helps us put on those cleats that make us ready for battle. But also, we need to show up when we can. I know there are people that work, and they can't always be here. But folks, we need to show up when we can. Why doesn't that get amened? I'm not here because I am an employee of the church. If I wasn't an employee of the church, I would still be here because I believe that I made a commitment to God and it's up to me to keep it. But I also know that you made a commitment to God and it's up to you to keep it. And nobody's going to be able to say someday, well, you know, my folks, or my grandparents, or my friends, or my spouse, or my children, it's on you. And it's on me. So we've got to flex our faith. We've got to have this solid shield. We must trust in God. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust God. But we also must trust Christ. Jesus said in John the 14th chapter and verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. But we also must trust the Holy Spirit. In the second letter that Peter wrote, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we have everything fulfilled, and when we look at the Bible, we see it as a completed work of art. Now, those people in the first century, they were seeing the painting being fulfilled. They were seeing each piece of the puzzle being put into place. But we have the opportunity of not wondering what all this means, but of knowing what it means and looking back and seeing how God did it all. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, the Bible says, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain. What do you mean? We live in the times of the fulfillment of the prophets. We're not looking forward to any fulfillment of any prophet. We've already seen it. We've already embraced it. Jesus fulfilled all those. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And there's something beautiful about looking at the scriptures and knowing they're fulfilled. I have security. See, that's the one thing that people on this planet want. They would love to go to bed at night knowing that nobody's going to break into their house. They would love to be able to drive to work on Monday knowing that nobody's going to crash their car. They would love to know that the food that they eat is healthy to the body, and on Tuesday they're not going to have a heart attack. And they would love to believe that when they go to bed Tuesday night and through Wednesday morning, that their house is not going to catch on fire and burn down. But let me tell you something. Everything that I just said happens to somebody across the world, or even in the state of Kansas. This week it'll happen. Last week it did too. But the question is, do we have security? If something happened to me and I died today, would I be secure in my relationship with God? If so, it's because God has been your shield and your defender and your redeemer. In Romans chapter 8, we want to close with this. Romans chapter 8 is one of the most wonderful chapters in the Bible. It talks about in chapter 8, verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a great blessing. I am not going to be condemned because I'm in Jesus. But I must be faithful in Jesus or I'm in trouble. But we get to the last part of Romans chapter 8. And the question is asked in verse 35. Is there anybody here that can separate me from the love of God? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Battle? Are we going to let the battle separate us from God? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? God will always be a shield to the faithful. And God will always make sure that we overcome one way or another. Yes, there have been loved ones. I remember not long after I moved here to Derby in September of 2000. I remember meeting a man named Glenn Kissinger in a hospital bed just before he died. I remember Sister Dwyer. I have trouble thinking of her first name right now, all of a sudden. And she had cancer. And we prayed that God would remove that cancer. Ramona. And she died. And I remember another lady that used to live down the street, down here, right across the street from where Ray used to live. And her daughter lives out here on Rock Road with where she used to have a business that burned down. Ray, what was her name? June Rader. And she got cancer. And we prayed for her. And she died. But those people are not dead. Faith in God says those people have gone to a better place. You see, God remembers the faithful even when they die. And so the lesson for us today from Ephesians chapter 6 is you got to get your feet ready for battle. You do that by standing on God's Word, opening it and reading it. And you've got to take up that shield of faith. And this shield of faith is a big oblong shield. It's not a little shield, not a little round shield. This one covers the body. This one protects from head to toe. We need God as our shield of faith. especially in the culture we live in today, while everybody else thinks that we are religious nuts and idiots, we are not. We are God's children, and we are going to be faithful to Him, and we're going to hear God say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the gates of heaven." We're looking forward to that because we're standing on the promises of God, our King. So this war is going to start again. Maybe it's already going on. Maybe it already started this first day of the week. If it doesn't start today or tonight, it'll start tomorrow, but we're in a battle. And there are people watching. And we want to be faithful so that the people watching will say, you know what? There's something different about those people. I wonder what they have. We're glad you're here this morning. We hope that you're challenged to become a better Christian, because that's what God's Word is intended for. It's not to beat us up and make us feel terrible about ourselves. It's to make us remember who our Savior is and turn to Him and let Him strengthen and lift us up. If you're here this morning and need that, as a brother or sister in Christ, we'll pray and we'll stand beside you and we'll help you. But maybe you're not a Christian yet. Maybe you've been thinking about it. And the devil's been saying to you, not yet. Not now. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. The song continues by saying, tomorrow may be too late. If we can assist you this morning, come while we stand and sing.